Modern Love, the podcast, is supported by...
Produced by the iLab at WBUR Boston.
From the New York Times and WBUR Boston, this is Modern Love. Stories of love, loss, and redemption. I'm your host, Meghna Chakrabarty. What happens to love and desire as people age? Does it diminish? Does it get stronger with time? Or does it evolve into something different? Sophie Burnham writes about her experience in her essay, At What Age is Love Enthralling? 82. Jessica Walter reads Sophie's essay. She's known for her role as Lucille Bluth from Arrested Development and her work in the FXX animated series Archer, now airing its 10th season.
It has been many decades since I went through menopause. At the time, I regretted the concurrent invisibility when men stopped noticing me on the street. The funniest moment happened in Italy, where as a young student I had grown accustomed to walking down the street in a mist of commentary. Bellina, bella. Later, visiting Florence in midlife, I heard two boys on a motor scooter cry out behind me, Bellina, bellissima. And then as they passed, ah, scusa, signora, I broke out laughing. Over time, I grew to appreciate the freedom of not having to wear stilettos, attract anyone, or struggle for the exquisite body I once had. I moved into what is now termed the aging process. And I wondered, what does it mean to age? As a teenager, I read a book by H. Rider Haggard called She. In my memory of the story, a white adventurer in Africa comes across the most beautiful woman he has ever met, and they fall in love. It turns out she is immortal, having walked through the flames of eternity, which are found deep in underground caverns. She wants him to become immortal as well and to live with her, but he is too fearful of the fire to enter. She tells him she'll show him the way and steps into the flames, only this time she turns into a withered hag and burns up. He staggers back, surrendering to age and mortality. It's the sort of story that makes an impression. I'm an old woman now, although blessed with the accident of health. I feel youthful for my age, active, playful, energetic, lighthearted. I'm told I'm attractive, but I don't believe it, of course, because how could I be? I'm old. The other day, however, I was brought up short. A younger man I know came knocking on the door. We sat on the deck behind my house to talk about what I expected would be the death of his father or the girlfriend he had broken up with recently. I'm accustomed to being a kind of mother figure, the wise older woman who provides empathy and advice. Instead, this man, 30 years younger than I, screwed up his courage to blurt out that he felt attracted to me. I was stunned. Embarrassed. Yes, Emmanuel Macron, president of France, is married to a woman 25 years older than he, and I have friends who have had affairs with men 18 or 20 years younger, but that was when they were 40. Yes, the writer Fanny Vandegrift Osborne, who married the novelist Robert Louis Stevenson, took up after his death with a young writer, Ned Field. Ned was nearly 40 years younger and wild about Fanny when she was in her 70s, which 100 years ago was the equivalent of today's 80 or 90. She was, he wrote, the only woman in the world worth dying for. After Fanny's death, Ned married her daughter. She was only 20 years older than he, and who knows how she felt about not being the only woman worth dying for. On the morning of our conversation, I was swept by a confusion of emotions, including the embarrassment of not having thought of the younger man in that way. I thanked him for the compliment. I probably blushed. "You made my day," I said. I didn't tell him how embarrassed I felt, with wrinkles on my face and liver spots on my hands. So ashamed by my visible signs of aging that I no longer liked to look in the mirror. Or how my heart lifted with pleasure at his compliment. At the same time that somewhere in the back of my mind I became a scolded child again, hearing my mother's voice saying, "Shame on you! Who do you think you are?" I no longer remember what she was scolding me for, but I know that voice well. That of my inner judge thundering up the basement steps to flog me for my hubris. After my admirer left that day, it took me a good hour to quiet my inner judge. I might add that one of the pleasures of getting older is knowing how to deal with the inner judge before he becomes the torturer. When I was young, these harsh judgments could send me spiraling into depression for days. My admirer, if I can call him that, is not the only younger or older man to express affection for me. But I assume these men have meant it the way someone may say, "I love tomatoes." They appreciate my openness, my playfulness, my sense of wonder and joy. But this man left me shaken. I have no desire to take him up on his sweet confession, but he has made me stop and think about myself, about age, about life. Okay, I admit it. I suffer from ageism. I find myself buying into our cultural concept of age, which says I'm ugly now, a hag. I'm a product of my culture and of the advertising that swirls around us, presenting beauty as a 19 or even 16-year-old, perhaps, in Victoria's Secret lace or a Calvin Klein string thong with her bee-stung lips and sulky face. And look, she is beautiful. She is breathtaking. But why is it that a man can be desirable his whole life long and a woman can't? And then there's the study about online dating from last summer that claimed men's sexual desirability peaks at age 50, while women's is highest at 18 and falls from there. So what can it possibly mean for a woman like me in her early 80s to be told that I am still feminine and attractive? Or to admit that I still find men attractive? That I like to flirt? To play? What does it mean to be a woman? What is it that attracts? When I was 20, flooded by hormones and unable to keep my eyes and quivering senses from every boy, I thought it was about physical beauty or sensuality. And I thought it proper to heighten the interest of others by wearing miniskirts and floating fabrics. It was all about sex, nature's way of propagating the species. Later, men took second place in the currents of my life to interests and family and career. But they've always held a high place in my consciousness. Sex and power were linked for me, and the freedom of my sensuality was an expression of my own confidence and love of life. I think I never felt more sexually alive than in my 50s and 60s, and yes, even 70s, free from the dangers of childbirth, but with sensuality aflame. For women of my generation, who grew up without birth control pills or much sex education, a lot about sex was fraught. And later, sex in long-term relationships can become routine. But life brings unexpected changes. Marriages end. And I have found that love later in life has been every bit as enthralling as when I was young. As we age, we can gain a comfort level with ourselves that lets us pursue whatever we wish without shame. Even my mother's reproving voice died down long ago, mostly, and I have felt myself free to choose whom I wanted or not, and to act from my core. I like men. I like to look at men. I like their company. And just as I find a youthful girl's body lovely to look at, I find my eyes also tracking a fit male jogger on the street, shirtless, his body glistening. So what is it to be a woman at 82? What does femininity mean at this age? Beauty? Sensuality? I should say that I have never been happier than in these later years. Never more filled with wonder and delight. I think sometimes I'm back to being a 9-year-old, only with a creakier body, filled with joy at being alive and with none of the damage that the raging rivers of hormones later inflict. So what do I want to tell the women of tomorrow about the brilliant decades that lie ahead? I want to tell them about how good they can be. I want to tell them about joy.
Jessica Walter, reading Sophie Burnham's essay, At What Age Is Love Enthralling? 82. There's more from Sophie right after this. Sophie Burnham's essay was published this past winter. She says she doesn't know if the younger man she writes about has read it.
I sent it to him, said, see what you have inspired. I know that he had found a young woman that he'd fallen madly in love with since then. I see him occasionally, but I have never had a chance to sit down and actually ask him about the piece. And I don't think I want to. I don't want to know that he's ashamed of having been attracted to such an old lady.
Sophie thinks that man probably believed she was several decades younger than she was. She says she never saw him as a potential romance, but not long after, she did begin a different relationship.
I started to pick up a romance with a man that I had been very much in love with 20 years earlier for about, we had had a long relationship. And we tried to rekindle that and it didn't really work. And so at the moment I'm not seeing anybody and I have no need to see anybody. I'm rarely lonely. I have wonderful, wonderful friends. I have a family that I adore. And right now, I do not miss my physical sexuality. I just don't miss it. I don't think about it much.
Sophie says that these days, she's enjoying her own company.
In my 50s and 60s, I felt very open sensually. And was happy to have many, many relationships, and it was fun. It's freeing to know that you can have a lover without feeling any responsibility. You don't have to marry. You don't have to have children. You don't have to ask it to be any kind of long-term event. You just, right now, this is what I have, and it's fine, and I ask nothing more. The problem comes because our culture requires us to have a lot of expectations about things. If you're in a relationship, is he my boyfriend? Is he not my boyfriend? Did he behave the way I want him to behave? What are we asking of each other? And it becomes very complicated. It really does.
And she does want listeners to know this.
I want them to take away the idea that when they're old, it isn't going to be so bad at all. But you have to come at it with optimism and delight. We get what we ask for.
Of course, Sophie says, there are drawbacks to getting older.
Things happen. So your back hurts or your knee goes out. But on the other hand, there is a sweetness to this age that I would not have imagined. A part of it might be because you're so deeply aware of how soon it will be over. I won't be here to enjoy it anymore. So I had better take full advantage of every single second.
That's Sophie Burnham. She's a playwright, novelist, and nonfiction writer whose books include A Book of Angels and Love, Alba. We've got more after this. Here's Jessica Walter.
When I read this glorious piece by Sophie Burnham, I related to it immediately. I'm not 82 yet. I'm getting there slowly. But the material is so relevant to anybody in their 70s, 80s, 90s, and so true about our culture and the swirl of advertising and youth, youth, youth. I'm so grateful to have had the opportunity to read this piece, and I only hope that I've done justice to it.
Thanks again to Jessica for reading this week's essay. She's in FXX's Archer, airing Wednesdays at 10 p.m. Eastern and Pacific. And here's Daniel Jones, editor of the Modern Love column for the New York Times. He says that Sophie's essay is one of only a few published in Modern Love that were written by people over 80.
I just love how Sophie wrestles with these questions that extend beyond just can we feel love again, but can we feel desirable again? Can we feel physically desirable when we aren't supposed to? You know, we're supposed to feel old. We're supposed to feel ignored. And she says, has this sense of like genuine joy and surprise. It's just an important message because I think a lot of us think that we sort of expire, that we sort of have an expiration date for those kinds of feelings and those kinds of attractions. But whenever I hear from that group, it's about sort of joy and discovery and that stuff never dies.
Modern Love is a production of the New York Times and WBUR, Boston's NPR station. It's produced, directed, and edited by Caitlin O'Keefe. Original scoring and sound design by Matt Reed. Iris Adler is our executive producer. Our intern is Shemi Aloko. Daniel Jones is the editor of Modern Love for the New York Times and advisor to the show. Special thanks to Julia Simon, Anya Stremian, and Mia Lee at the New York Times. The idea for the Modern Love podcast was conceived by Lisa Tobin. Additional music, courtesy of APM. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. See you next week.